The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread. And people were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him." Others were saying, "He is Elijah." Still others, "He is a prophet like any of the prophets." But when Herod learned of it, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised up." Herod was the one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. His own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" Her mother replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oath and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I thought I'd tell you a little bit about our saint for today, okay, Saint Josephine Bakhita. And I've told you about Saint Josephine before, but it's been so many years I can't remember, and maybe you don't remember either, okay? So it's not a bad thing to hear a second time. Saint Josephine is one of the more recent saints in our church. She was only canonized in the year 2000 by Pope John Paul II, and this is a woman who didn't die until 1947, which is quite recent compared with many of the other saints in our church. And I'll tell you why I like Saint Josephine. It's because her life shows us that everything that has happened to you has happened for a reason. Everything that has happened to you has prepared you for what you are living through now and is getting you ready for what is to come. That's what I like about the life of Saint Josephine. Now, Josephine was born in Sudan and raised as a Muslim. The only Sudanese in the history of the church ever to be canonized a saint. And as best we can tell, until the age of 7, she lived a perfectly happy, normal childhood. But at the age of 7, Josephine was captured by slave traders and sold into slavery. And that might sound like something from centuries past, but would you be surprised to learn that chattel slavery, the buying and selling of human beings, was legal and protected by law in some countries in Africa as recently as 12 years ago, okay? So, bought and sold into slavery. She lived 12 years as a slave. Bought and sold 5 times. And the things that Josephine lived through, the hell on earth that she experienced, is too gruesome to describe from the pulpit. If you want to know what happened to Josephine, you're going to have to look it up yourself, okay? But she was abused, she was scourged and whipped, even tortured. And her trauma was so deep She actually forgot her own name. Her captors once said, "What is your name, girl? What is your name?" And she couldn't answer them. She didn't know her own name. And they said to her, "You're lucky we don't kill you right now." And Bakita is the Arabic word for lucky. So they started calling her Bakita, the lucky one. Right? Forgot her. Actually don't know her own name as best I know. To this day, they called her Bakita. And yet, somewhere deep down in her soul, you know, she knew that the fundamental core of life and of reality had to be goodness. She'd look up at the stars, right? And she'd see the moon, and she'd see the night sky, and she'd see how beautiful they were. And she would ask herself, what is the source of such goodness that I see? But she didn't know where to look. And she had no one to guide her or to help her. All she knew was her pain and sufferings. They say that, you know, no sooner did one wound on her back heal before they went and lashed her again. Bought and sold 5 times until one day she was purchased by a man from Italy. And unlike all the other people who had bought and sold her before, this man bought her to set her free, to give her back her life. And took her with him back to his hometown in Venice and gave her to the Canossian sisters, where they took her into their convent and they raised her and they began to teach her the Catholic faith. And this is where her life turned around. She never learned about Jesus Christ. And she was absolutely astonished. It's all she'd ever heard about all her life in Islam is God is so powerful and God is so mighty and God is so great. She'd never learned how loving God is. And she was amazed that this God that they worship here in Italy, he himself was scourged and lashed by tormentors. And he himself was tortured and left to die. But that this God is so powerful that he turned every last suffering into a blessing for other people, and that his death was the source of eternal life. Absolutely amazed by that. And she began to realize, that can happen to me too. And so she asked to be baptized. Took the name Josephine in honor of Saint Joseph. And she was confirmed and she made her first communion. And she asked to become one of the Canossian sisters herself, and they ended up welcoming her into the convent where she lived a very simple life all the rest of her days. Only thing she ever did was she served at Mass as a sacristan. She cooked their meals and she watched, opened the door, greeted people as the porter at the door. The people came from all over to the convent in Venice just to sit down and talk with Josephine. And the reason was she was so deeply peaceful. They said she had the warmest smile and the most peaceful demeanor. And that you walked away from Josephine. They say that it was like you went to a lakeside in the still of the morning and everything was perfectly calm. Now, why did Josephine have that effect on people? You want to know why? It's because she knew that everything that happened to her happened for a reason. That God was going to bring about blessings not only in spite of everything that had happened, but even because of everything that had happened. Deep, deep peace in that when all those questions were answered. And someone once went up to Josephine and said, what would you do now if you could meet the people who kept you slave for all those years? What would you do now? And she said, without missing a beat, she says, I would kneel down and kiss their feet, because if it was not for them, I never would have met Jesus Christ. Now that's somebody who knows the power of God and the providence of God. Everything that has happened to you right up until this moment has happened to you for a reason, for what you're living through now and for what is yet to come, because no matter what happens, nobody can stop the power of God, not all the evil in the world. So we hear in this gospel about the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist, right? And here's Herodias, who wants to shut up John the Baptist. You'll never hear from him again. So she has him, in all of her wickedness, she has his head lopped off. Did that stop the message of John the Baptist? No. It amplified the message of John the Baptist. That's what God does. You know, when people do evil, think about King Herod, or you think about Pharaoh of Egypt, The only thing that ever happens is they draw down judgment on their own soul. God's will is never thwarted. In fact, it's advanced. So we live in this world, right, with our own weaknesses, intimidated by the powers of secularism, right? It's so mighty and powerful. They've got all the news, and they've got all the media, and they've got all the half the government, maybe more than half. So intimidated. Be intimidated by your own weakness, too. It's very helpful to remember something like the life of St. Josephine, who, at a deep, deep level, knew that God was going to do his work not only in spite of everything that had happened to her, but even because of everything that had happened. And it's the same for you and for me as well. In your life, in the world, and in the church, surrender even more deeply and with greater trust to God's grace and his providence, and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Josephine Bakhita, pray for us.